As a child of God, when I mean a child of God, not the one you confess by mouth, though, that you say I'm a child of God. No, the one you your heart. When you want your heart, the one you live in, you walk in, you are a beneficiary of favor. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go back to our text. And let's analyze the life of Joseph. Joseph was 17 years old when he was taken out of his father's house. He was a teenager. And I don't think Joseph has received all the training he needed, so because there was no mother to train him. The mother was late. Praise the Lord. And from the account of the Bible, Joseph spent, he became a prime minister at the age of 30. So he spent 13 years in Potiphar's house and in prison. He spent 13 years in slavery. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that the favor of God causes people to go out of their way to bless you without knowing why. We don't get that. There are some blessings we have received. We don't know why they blessed us. You wonder, what have I done? This person just came and blessed me with this thing. Why? It's the favor of God. Potiphar saw something in Joseph. Joseph himself, I'm sure, did not see that thing. There are some things that happen to that. People will say, ah, you have this thing, you carry this thing. You'll not be wondering, really, do I? You just have to take a lot of self-talk. And they saw something in me. Father, Lord, reveal this. Open my eyes to see this wondrous gift of yours in my life. Praise the Lord. That is God's favor in your life. People just love you. Say, oh, I love your smile. I don't know, I just love you. They cannot explain it. It's beyond their comprehension. They just like, ah, if I see this person, I'm always happy, excited. There's something in me that I cannot explain. The favor of God. Praise the Lord. God's supernatural favor is not based on your personal look. Please, it's not. It is not based on your background. It is not based on where you are coming from. If it's by that, Joseph will not be who he was, who he became in Egypt. Praise the Lord. From the history of Joseph, look, the world we have today, if you go into politics, everybody will know your history in this land. Try politics. They will bring out your dossier. They will tell you your history. History that you don't know about yourself, they will tell you. Even things you did not do, they will tell you, they will tell you did it. They will dig and search. By history, by record, Joseph is not worth it. He's a slave. One, he's not a citizen. He's a slave. An ex-convict. A rapist. By record. Praise the Lord. A rapist by record. So, I want to understand, when the favor of God comes upon you, all those things are inconsequential. Hello? It makes no sense. That is why it says it's supernatural. It does not make sense to human nature, to law of nature, to human mind. You cannot reason or comprehend it. Hallelujah. So, now, another thing I want us to understand, I said, it's not about your looks. If it's about his look, Joseph was already brought before Pharaoh. Yeah, they had to clearly shave his hair. He was looking lean, he was looking unkept. You don't appear before a king like that. Praise the Lord. But at that moment, the king cared less about who Joseph's look, because God has put up orchestrated an event that will elevate Joseph. So, supernatural favor has no regard to nature laws or nature of human protocols. It breaks them. It has no regard to gravity. No. Gravity is physics. It has no regard to all the three laws of motion. Aerodynamics. Mention them. Scientists cannot comprehend supernatural favor. Praise the Lord. God will raise somebody from nowhere and put him there. And people will look at, how come? Joseph, from the records, from the Bible account of Joseph, there was nothing that he had a degree. Because the Egyptians there, they were well learned. They read a lot. They study hard. Joseph had no record of that. He was a slave. A slave had no privilege to anything. His life is not even his own. Your master decides what to do with your life. So it was not opportune to school or to learn anything. Probably maybe papers that he sees on the floor, he picks it, and there was no paper then. They were using scrolls. And scrolls were kept neatly. So you can't trash scrolls. Praise the Lord. So apart from what he learned in his father's house, there was any form of education. So we say Joseph probably is semi-illiterate. Hello? Am I communicating? You see, but when the supernatural favor of God came, the protocol of Egypt was broken. Egypt was the world power. When God is set time for your life comes, said it is set time to bless what? To favor Zion. When that set time comes, forget the law of politics. They are saying that you must be a party member. There was something I saw on Twitter. They said a man God will use to rule will not be ruled by men, will not be controlled by men. A man God will use to rule a nation will not be controlled by men. It will be controlled by the Holy Spirit. If God is going to bring somebody that will come and rule this nation, political parties or party chairman will not control that man. Possible. It is the Holy Spirit. Even the party chairman will fall under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There is not. Hallelujah. When Joseph was brought out of prison, Pharaoh did not address him as ex-prisoner or ex-convict. No. Normally, you cannot speak to a king directly. Even in organizations, normal organizations, you cannot walk directly to your boss's office. They are protocol, they are head of departments. You go through your boss, your head of your unit, that goes through another head of unit before it gets to the boss. But this one, not to talk of a king, the number one king in the world at that moment, a prison, an ex-convict. It was not even an ex-convict, it was still a prisoner. Just that he was not brought in chains before the king. He was brought free. There was no chain in his hand, there was no chain on his leg. He does not. He cannot appear before a king. But that moment he appeared before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was speaking directly to Joseph. Why? Because the experience of the Holy Spirit was upon him. That supernatural favor of God was there. He nullified all those GM of this MDO. No, he knocked them off. The chairman himself was talking to him because the chairman knows that there's an anointing above him. And that boy was kind of anointing above the chairman. So by the time he saw the anointing, the chairman gone will lay. He will bow. God does not use your past to determine your future. If it's by that, Joseph will not get there. When you keep looking at your past mistakes, honestly, you will not walk in this supernatural favor. The devil will come at times. This is real. He will try to bring your mistakes before you, your sheets before you, that you're a liar, you stole, you cheated, that deal you did. You did not declare the total profits. Ah. You see, these are, devil knows, he plays mind game. Praise the Lord. He plays mind games a lot. But I want to tell you something. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, is a very popular scripture. We know it. Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19. God says something, and I love that scripture any day, anytime. It says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Whenever the devil brings your sheets before you, your S-H-I-T, open to the word of God and say, devil, I'm bringing S-H-E-E-T to cover your S-H-I-T. Do you get that? When the devil brings your sheet, S-H-I-T, before you, you come to this scripture and say, my father says, as it is written in the word, in the book of my father, said, I should remember not yet the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. So just carry S-H-E-E-T and cover the S-H-I-T. He said, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? It's not possible you will know. I will even make a way in the wilderness and river in the desert. This is the word of the Lord. So when the devil is trying to run you down by your past deeds, the mistakes you made where you were in the world, you just bring out the word of God. And say, devil, shame on you. I got the word of God. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. I know my time is running fast. Many things I plan to share, but let's move on. So, there was a song I was listening to. My wife was like, you and this is your song. The supernatural is our reality as Christians. But how do we walk in the reality of supernatural favor? Number one, you have to create God's presence in your life. The more you can create an environment that is conducive to the Holy Spirit, the more of God's presence you will carry. You know, I took time to establish something. The person behind that experience, I defined favor, I defined supernatural. I brought them together, I met them, I told you something, and I said, who is behind that experience beyond the law of nature? It's the Holy Spirit. So I want us to understand that the person of the Holy Spirit is the one beyond supernatural favor. Supernatural favor is different from ordinary favor. There are two dimensions. Men can favor you. But it's only God that gives supernatural favor. He will use men. But it's only God that will breathe upon man to give you that kind of favor. Praise the Lord. So you have to cultivate the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, the more of his presence you carry, the more power you will have. The more of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why when Mary asked, she said, how can this happen? It cannot. Medical students will tell you, when you do anatomy, a woman cannot get pregnant without such some processes. Praise the Lord. You know, I had cousins that medical doctors, when we were growing up, when they are talking then, the anatomy, when I would go and buy textbook for that, I would be opening, they would be talking about human and things like that. But he said, how can this thing be? He said, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Most High. So, for us to walk, to make supernatural favor a reality in our life, we need the person of the Holy Spirit. So we have to cultivate it, create an environment, speak in tongues, pray, praise. We talked about praises last Sunday. Said praise, said I went out is God with thanksgiving, my went out is God with praises. In holies of the holies, inner part of God's chamber. We praise, we worship God, sing praises, speak in tongues. When we cultivate, we create an environment that is conducive for the Holy Spirit to move. If we do the supernatural in our lives. Praise the Lord. Number two, cultivate supernatural faith. Now, when I say supernatural faith, I'm not talking about, it's different from faith itself. True supernatural faith flows out of the spirit and affects the mind, and not the other way around. Do you get the point? He said it flows out of the spirit and affects the mind, not the mind first. It comes from the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit enlightening us to understand God's ways. Praise the Lord. You see, faith defies logic and natural reality for a spiritual reality. It causes natural things to line up with what God has already accomplished spiritually. I'm going to say something like my anthem. There are no new victories. He has died. He has accomplished all. He said it is finished. We have to rest in the finished work of Christ on the Calvary. But we need supernatural faith to rest on that finished work. You see, if you don't have that understanding, you'll be struggling. You'll be fighting to get things done. Praise the Lord. So whenever things are not just good, just say, I surrender. I said, I submit to that finished work of Christ on the Calvary. I stepped out. I stepped down, Father. I step out of the matter. Take control. Step in. When God steps into anything, the result will be testimony. Praise the Lord. So we must live in the world and constantly renew our mind. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So when the devil is trying to make you be fearful, or trying to bring sheets before you, go to the word of God and remind the devil what the word of God says. Romans 12:2, we know the scripture. But let's open the scripture. It said, I'm being not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, perfect will of God. Complete will. Purpose of God for your life. You see, we desire good things for ourselves. Honestly, it's good. But the best of what is good for us comes from God. Perfect will for us. You might desire this thing. Oh, I love this thing. Wow. That is what you can see by your human eyes. But God is seeing a bigger picture. No, son, this is too small for you. I have bigger things for you. I read a story yesterday on internet about a man that went to a restaurant and he ordered for food. He said, let me just eat out. Okay, he asked for money. He has reserved the money. Let me quickly eat something. And he was waiting 20 minutes. Some people came in after him 20 minutes after he came in. And they've not brought his own order. And they served those people before him. And he said he was upset. He was going to leave. Then he called the waiter that, what happened? These people came 20 minutes after I came in. You've not brought my order. And you've served them. And I said, sir, your own is a special one. Being done by the chef himself, the chief chef. That those ones, because they're just students that prepare their own meal. Not knowing that the owner of the restaurant is an old family friend. Who has cited him as he came in. I said, no. He has even elevated his order. said, give him 5-star treatment. Prepare this. He was supervising the thing himself. He brought the chief chef. Stay there. I'm here. By the time they brought his food with all the things, people were not wondering. The people that were eating their food, they've almost done. They are almost done. They say, who is this guy? They were bragging that they can put connection. They can pull strings wherever they go. See, people will get things before you. Don't be discouraged, please. Please. Don't say, because this God, I go to church regularly, I serve you. Please, don't worry. Relax. The chief chef himself is preparing your meal. Oh, hey. You are looking at that. Okay. Man, I want to buy that house. Maybe, that house is like 15 MGM. Let me buy that two-bedroom flats. And that's what I can afford by my income. I've done your projection 20 years from now. This is what my income can bring me. And God is looking at you saying, hey, what? Maybe two-bedroom flats in somewhere on the mainland. I won't mention names. And God said, hey, I'm about to bring you somewhere, man. There's a place they call Orange Highland. I'm about to give you Orange Highland. I'm about to give you a 5-bedroom duplex on Orange Highland. You say, by the time you get there, you yourself, you will know that your 15 years, 20 years projection, in your 50 years projection cannot get you this. This is God. So don't be in a hurry. Relax. God is taking you somewhere. Hallelujah. Our God is good. So faith is born from revelation in the heart. Faith is born from revelation in the heart. And when fruit is revealed to your mind and heart by the Holy Spirit through the word, faith comes alive inside of you. You see, there are some things you do. I don't know if I have a witness in this house. You just keep doing these things. You don't know why you are doing it. You cannot explain it. I will give an example. When I was going to get married, my wife was asking me that, what's pushing you? I said, I don't know. I was just doing things. I was going to get this one. And the moment I go and get this one, they give me price, money will come. Bam. If I looked at my finances, I would not get married. Honestly. A lot of people have built houses, they will tell you that, look, it's not my finances. They've done projects. It's not what they planned, what they saved. They just walked by faith. Faith is not sight, please. It's a revelation by the Holy Spirit to your heart. When the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, yourself, you will not understand it. There's a force pushing you to do this thing. It's a supernatural force. It's the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to John 14, verse 16 to 17. John chapter 14. Let me read that scripture to buttress what I just shared. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. That is the Spirit of God. He says something here. The scripture says, the world cannot receive it because they did not see the Holy Spirit. They did not know the Holy Spirit. The world cannot comprehend that kind of blessing in your life because they did not know the person of the supernatural, which is the Holy Spirit. And they cannot see it. They cannot see the evidence of the result of the move of the Holy Spirit in your life. People in Egypt at that moment, they cannot comprehend. I know talks. See, the Bible will not go into account of some things, but if I'm to write a script on that drama, and we talk about what were people saying? There are gossips are out there. They always talk, how come this boy? I just share him all the potifani now. The boy, I knew when he came to Egypt, they brought us together, or he met me in that house. They will talk. They will go and bring out, he's a slave, he raped madam. But when God set out to bless you, it's inconsequential. Even they say before Pharaoh will say, I don't understand. Pharaoh will not, that word, what you say is a rapist. Pharaoh will be hearing, what? He's a savior. To Egypt. You are telling Pharaoh that man is a rapist. Pharaoh is seeing savior in him. Potiphar is seeing rapist. Pharaoh is seeing savior. By the time God's supernatural blessing comes upon you, people will say, they will see, people will say, but people that want to help you will be seeing what? This is the savior God has sent to rescue this nation. There was a man that did a job for somebody, very prominent Nigerian. And when he introduced the man to him, the man told me, shared testimony, he said, when he got to the man, this person, the man said, where have you been all these years? Savior, yeah. they have been cheating me. People have been doing. The man said he worked with him for 1.5 years. He changed. Everything about that man, all his properties he did for him, he changed. The man said his life too changed. The man said, ah, all right, me. Well, I have found one guy. This boy is good. He started giving him link. That is what I'm talking about. Supernatural favor of God. They'll be wondering, where have you been? Why haven't I met you? They don't understand. God was praying this. If they had not tasted the bad one, how would they appreciate the good one? Ah. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Number 3. Add action to your faith. You see, when the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon you for the supernatural, it has a reason, an intended purpose. That is why Pastor there used to say the anointing is to do. Don't receive it and sit down. Do it, use it, engage it, and it will manifest. You will get the result. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me. He said, God has anointed me, but to a purpose, to do what? To preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound. See, when you get this anointing of supernatural favor, it's not just for you. It's not for you. Please, it is for a purpose. Joseph came into Egypt for a purpose, to save the land and to be announced. You see, what the world pays for is to solve problems. You have to solve problems in people's life, and the world will celebrate you. He solved the problem of the nation, of the world, in short, the whole world, because the whole world came to buy from Egypt when there was famine everywhere. So when you're somewhere and you are being blessed, it's not for you alone. Please, always know that. It's for you to do something with it that will bring glory to God's name. If you take it alone, how will others experience God? No. If you alone are enjoying it, how will they experience God through that favor? They have to experience God through that favor. By the time you are blessed and you extend a blessing to them for no reason, and they are being blessed as well, they will want to go to follow your God. Ah, Auntie Emma Binu. Oh God, can she live for me? What have I done? He said, no, it's alone you're going to more. Ah. You know, some people, they want to know that source. They don't want resource. Praise the Lord. So, for example, somebody craving for their stuff, said, God, give me anointing for healing. And you kept on praying, anointing for healing, anointing for healing, anointing for... No, you will go out and start praying for the sick. I read a story on Twitter by, I think, Omojua or so. He said something, said there was years back in 1940 something, early night, that there was a man that used to preach. And the man would say, we will come and stand every year. I see a roar from here to the town, from the town to the city, to this village. He will come every year. The man came year one, they will fast. Year two, year three, there was no road. I think the sixth year, the man just, at that crusade, he just took cutlass. I see a roar, he started clearing the grass. You must put action to your faith. The man cleared the grass. Years later, road came there. But if you have not cleared the grass, you will keep on coming. I see a road. I see a road. Please. The anointing in your life is to do. It's not to see. It's not to sit down. Stop seeing road. Stop walking. Walk. Start walking on it. When they were at the Red Sea, please, the Red Sea did not go dry like that. They stepped into the water. The Ten Commandments we watched when we were children did not explain it. There was one Exodus movie I saw in 2008. Was it 14? Moses was in the water to this point. The water was at his chest before he got dry. He moved by faith, not by sight. So if you don't have to, they are not, you are moving by sight. So stop saying, I see a road. Clear the grass, I see a road. I drew Nijo. Let me explain that thing. Hallelujah. See, I'm standing. But I'm like, oh, I'm dancing. I do know the Joe. So if you are standing still, you know that as long as I'm doing this, I'm dancing. I do know here, I'm doing something. Do something new every day, as I'm saying. That thing you want to do, that project, always take a step. Every day of your life, take a step towards it. Do something about it. If you want to do a prayer, maybe you want to do an investment, you want to buy something, start setting aside money for it. God has a way of blessing it. He has seen your act of faith. little faith. Just wait. He will come and do the rest. But don't receive the anointing and sit down, please. Number four. Before I said, the Bible says in James 2:20, said, faith without work is what? Praise the Lord. Number four. We should learn to hear God's voice. Now, this is key. When I was in this study, and I read about the mirror thing Jesus Christ said, at the point Jesus said something in what scripture? I think in John 5:19. Let's read John 5:19. John chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what thing soever he doeth, there this also doeth the Son likewise. Now, learn to hear God's voice. All through Jesus Christ's ministry, he was hearing the voice of God. He does not do anything of his own power. He always said, as my Father has sent me. The Bible said, he said, as he seeth the Father do, he did the same thing. So to operate in the supernatural, to walk in supernatural favor, we must develop a key sensitivity to the person of the Holy Spirit. Let me give it's tangible, but it ministered to me. 2 weeks ago, I bought a shirt from a family friend. So I brought it to work. I went to collect from his office. I brought it to work. I kept it in the car on a Saturday. And I gave the car to one of the foreman. I said, go ahead and put this in the car, please. I didn't realize I'd forgotten my car keys with him. And he stays after Ekpe. And he goes home every Saturday. So while we were talking, my son said, show your colleague this shirt. I said, no, I'm not showing them. I want somebody to shine for them. On one day when I come, they'll crack the shirt. Man, I said, where did you get this nice shirt? That was the time I come, I used to shine for them on one day. But somebody said, tell him about the shirt. Tell him about it. I said, no. I was contemplating. I won't tell him. I will tell him. You know, my foreman had left. I didn't realize it. I just said, Dan, come and go see this shirt I just buy. So I took him to the car, looking for car keys. I couldn't find car keys. The guy was at the bus stop. As God we have, he couldn't get bus. There was a delay. If not, my car keys would have been at the pay. See, it's a joke. Jokingly, it's funny. But be sensitive to the what? To the move of the Holy Spirit. When there's that move in your spirit, please be sensitive to it. If I had not been sensitive enough, honestly, that day I would have. And that funny thing, I don't really like carrying money when I'm driving. I just fold the car. I just like, I don't need the car. Let me just move. Before I will get ATM. And Saturdays in that area, don't go to ATMs. You are in trouble. You will spend like 3 hours on a queue. And the good thing, when you've queued well as a good citizen, some boys will just come from anywhere. Oh, my dad, queue. They will start the whole queue. You start all over again. You have to get to a quarter shopping complex before you can get enough ATMs to use. On a weekend in that area, So, what I'm saying in essence is, we should be sensitive to the person of the Holy Spirit. It's the change factor. Praise the Lord. If you want to sensitize your spiritual eyes and ears, you must put yourself in a place where you can see and hear God. This will often require you to pull away into a deserted place. Jesus did it a lot. You have to refuel. When you pull your car, when you go to the gas station, you pull out of the highway, you are refueling. Though it's short, because papa, you buy fuel. Jesus Christ, when he's going out of fuel, he pulls out to a deserted place to refresh himself. You know, I remember always go for retreats. You just go somewhere, be still so you can hear from God. The noise, the bustling noise everywhere, we need to do that. This will often require us to pull away so you can place all your heart and mind on him. So that you can focus everything. There won't be distractions around you. You can focus all your mind on God. And when you exercise your spiritual senses by learning to listen and not to talk. I think the mommy shared something with me. Said she went for a retreat. She didn't even take her notes, Bible, everything. She just went to praise God and say, what do you have to say? It's not a time to carry lists. God, these are the things I want. No. This is a time to hear what God is saying. He that has ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Number five. Practice prayer and fasting. Matthew 17, verse 14 to 21. Matthew 17,
But I won't read, I'll just read verse 21. Matthew 17. Let's go to verse 21. When Jesus was going, the disciple could not hit that boy that was possessed of epilepsy. And verse 21 says, "How be it, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." There are some level of anointing, power anointing, revelation you receive from prayer and fasting. There was something I shared back in 2012. And Pastor Day is familiar with that story very well. I fasted for 90-day stretch. Okay. Thank you, ma. I think this is my last point. Yes, thank you. So I'm going to close with this story. And I'm going to say something after this story. And things were not going well. Things were not joran. They were not going. I couldn't put the boy. Everything was disorganized in my life. The church used to do 21 days. After the church, I continued. I said, "God, I will never let you go except you bless me." I was working in Mushin then. I was in Mushin office. And things were happening. After I finished the 90 days, I went on white again. Oh, God. When something is chasing you, you will scale the highest fence. Do you know that in my dream, I was sleeping. In my sleep, I had a dream. And that dream, there was a big screen television. And I was watching things they were doing in the factory. Those guys were burying things, doing things. You see, when you fast and when you pray, the body, see, I want to tell you something. Note, is the faith, prayer and fasting helps to release God's faith within us. Because it will open your eyes to some things you did not see, cannot see by ordinary eyes. It will make you hear some things God is saying to you that you could not hear. Because prayer and fasting energizes your spirit. Your spirit is connected. When I saw everything, I just said, "Father, thank you, Lord." I ended my fast. I started doing Thanksgiving. That was the victory for me. Because I saw the problem, the root cause. And I dealt with it. Till day, when they see me, Ogao! Because it takes fasting and prayer. So we must give ourselves to fasting and prayer. It is the faith that produces the miracle, not the fasting. Please, note this. But the fasting and prayer in this instance serves as a passageway into the fullness of faith that exists in God's heart. It's a passageway. It connects your spirit into the passage where the result lies, where the solution lies. And again, it isn't by our works. Your work cannot give you supernatural favor. But by his faith and grace extended towards us. What is grace? If you look at dictionary will tell you that grace. I saw it. I just jotted it down when I was looking at dictionary. Dictionary said grace. Free. He said his grace is free and unmerited favor of God. So this fasting and prayer connects your spirit to that solution. And from there you get the result. Praise the Lord. In closing, I will say this. Pride is something we should be cognizant of. We should be conscious of it, please. Pride. When Joseph had everything, he told Potiphar's wife, he said, "My master has put me in charge of everything in this house. He does not know what he has, except the bread he eats. But you alone." Joseph, he was not proud there. He was explaining to the woman. Some people, when they get everything, they become proud. Praise the Lord. Pride can make you lose everything overnight. So when God blesses you, when that supernatural favor comes, please, don't be proud. A man was working somewhere. In closing, this story, the man was the major contractor to this company. Him alone was the major, it was a project of 3 years he was doing with the company. He was the main contractor with this country, subcontractor. There was no rival. When other people comes, they tell him, staff of this company, the MD brought him himself. He was telling them that, "You can't talk to me because you did not give me this job. These are staffs of the company." He became proud. He will travel without telling anybody. It's only the MD that can talk to him. And they keep going to him and say, "This boy, this man is doing this." The MD will not say anything. One day he traveled without telling anybody as usual. He went for 1 week and abandoned all the project. And the work, whenever he travels, the work will just stop until he comes again. He's the king there. Before he came, they brought in 300 subcontractors. Now he's begging to get a job. Pride. Praise the Lord. In closing, let us be motivated by the love of God. We should be what? Motivated by the love of God. Romans 13:11 says, "Love maketh no heed to your neighbor." It is the fulfillment of the law. So love must be the foundation of everything you do. The blessing that God is bringing to your life, because I can see supernatural favor of God moving in this place. Amen. People will come and testify. Amen. Joseph spent 13 years in slavery, in prison. You might be delayed in your life. You might be delayed in your life. That thing you are looking, believing God for, beyond 13 years. But I'm telling you, I'm telling somebody here this morning, God is about to bring it to a closure. Amen. He's about to open a new chapter in your life. Amen. That men will see you and say, yes, this is God. Amen. Let's rise on our feet. Let's appreciate God for his word. Let's appreciate him for what he's about to do. His new dimension. This new supernatural favor that is coming our way. Let us thank him for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the one behind the experience. He's the invisible person behind the experience. The one that brings the supernatural into reality in our life. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you. We acknowledge you, bread of God. You are the one that can bring this reality, this supernatural favor into reality in our life. We did not take you for granted, Holy Spirit of God. We pray this morning that you will move in our lives. Beyond human comprehension, beyond the law of nature. The law of nature says, I don't have a degree, you cannot get a job. The law of nature says, you cannot have a child, there's this thing, there's this and there's that. You cannot get married, there's this. But Father, the supernatural overrides all of those things. So we call upon the Holy Spirit to begin to move in the life of your children this morning. Begin to override the law of nature. Begin to override human protocols. And begin to do that which only you can do. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name.